Welcome to We Are The Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are The Watchers.
Welcome to We Are The Watchers Avengers Endgame Special. Tom, how are you feeling?
Good. I'm broken.
Aww.
In a good way. I've.
But you're surrounded by mates. You've got a mate here. You do the intros. How do you know each other?
This is Rainer. Hi,
hello.
Rainer.
Hello, Tom.
Rainer's a big Marvel fan as well of the movies, and we've seen a couple of them together before.
Nice.
Well, it was you who started me on this journey, so I'm glad that we're here at the, not the end, but an important chapter.
We're in the end game now.
Yeah, we're in the end game now.
Yeah.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Yep.
Long movie. By the way, if you have not seen the movie, don't listen to this until you watch it.
Yeah, we're going full spoiler cast.
We will be. We have just come from the cinema, so if things are rambly, that's because we're still sort of processing what happened.
Yeah, and also because the movie started at 8 a.m., we went to the first public global screening, which was great, and we're jumping on this. So as soon as you've listened, you can listen to this and hopefully find some solace or consolation of other people going through the feels.
Because, Rainer, a lot of stuff happened.
It was emotional.
Yeah.
It was.
I think. Tom, I heard you going for it through a lot of it. I think your quote was that you cried for an hour of the three.
Happy and sad. Mm. A lot of it, you know, there was just a crazy amount of payoff for stuff that we've been invested in for a long, long, long time.
For a decade?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Firstly, let's get to how it feels, how it felt compared to Infinity War. For me, it felt like a slower pace. They're like, all right, we're just going to focus on these people, mainly because other people were dust. But we're going to focus on these people, and these people are sad. And it made you feel sad.
Yeah, I felt like this film was much more cerebral than Infinity War. Infinity War was kind of like a 2.5-hour punch-up. And it was a lot of that aggression, and you got to go and fight the bad guy and stuff. Mm. And then the first half hour of this movie was kind of survivor's guilt, counseling, and just people feeling awful.
Mm.
Like, the film starts with Hawkeye happy with his kids, teaching him how to shoot bows and arrows, turns around to grab a beer or something, and his family's gone.
Whole
and that's
family.
The movie's beginning.
It certainly sets the tone, don't you reckon?
Yeah, I think so. I think I was a little bit worried that it might be 3 hours of big battle. Oh, my God, my eyes are bleeding. It's so much battle. But it wasn't. It was a much more subtle film, which I think, I mean, obviously it had its epic moments. But for me, in comparison to some of these blockbuster things I've experienced in the past, it felt like a more subtle movie. And that was unexpected for me. I was expecting 3 hours of explosions.
Well, I felt like the battles actually had some personal weight. So, you know, as we've said, spoilers, some of these battles are taking part in past battles that we've seen.
That
we know
seen.
The outcomes of them. We know how things are going to go. But they can still step in there and have an effect. And I don't know. Sometimes that made me really happy. Like when Captain America's back just before Captain America 2 starts, and they recreate that scene of him getting into the lift. I'm like, oh my God, he's going to beat him up in the lift early. And instead he leans over and hail Hydra.
the whole cinema was pretty much when that elevator scene happened. It was great to be a part of.
Yep. Now listen, I reckon we keep the big three. Mm-hmm. We finish with them, with your Thor.
I'm happy.
Fat Thor. what were some great character moments that you enjoyed? Who do you think had a good arc? Who surprised you with how much they were involved?
I was just so happy that Professor Hulk was a thing.
Professor Hulk. I think Mark Ruffalo was having the best time of his life.
And I was having the best time watching him. I was genuinely enjoying not only the fact that facial expressions were there, CGI, but facial expressions, there was a bit of a 5 o'clock shadow going on, and every emotion was captured, and it was captivating me.
The thing that blew my mind, and they've done Hulk a bunch of times, but Hulk is always slightly different to Ruffalo. He's got the same sort of facial features. But this time, because he was talking, they matched the fact that Ruffalo does the side talk.
Yes.
Ruffalo talks out one side a lot more. And they did that with Hulk. And that just soldered that extra little bit for me. I would stop and get a selfie with Professor Hulk.
I enjoyed that scene in the cafeteria.
Can you take a photograph for me? You know I'm Ant-Man. Oh, that's fine. You don't know
me. Do you want a photo with me?
That's fine. You don't know me. You don't know me. One thing I enjoyed about this movie, and it was probably only because I'm comparing it to Infinity War, is that we got to spend more time with characters. In Infinity War, we had to check in with everyone. Like, you were ticking boxes. Yes, here's this person, here's this person. This one was like, okay, we're going on a journey with these guys.
Yep.
And the stakes are high.
And we didn't stray too much from anyone that stepped on that time sphere. Until the very end of the film, that's kind of who everything was focused on.
It was... I thought I would miss those other characters that were obviously not there and came back later. But I didn't think about it. I think there was enough because we were hitting those cues, those important things that those characters need to go through. Now, there were arcs that I thought were done that still had one final sort of piece to play, which I think was quite good because sometimes in these Marvel movies you go, how can this character's arc play out anymore? And there were those moments in the film which I really, really liked. And it made me, I think, I forgot that these other characters were gone. And when they came back, of course, there was this joyous moment, cinema screaming. I think it was one of the first times the cinemas were screaming. Everyone was up and yelling and everything. Yeah. So, it was fantastic.
It took a long time for the movie audience to relax and cheer because it'd been so serious for quite a fun. And there'd been elements of fun and stuff, but it hadn't been like some of the other Marvel movies where you get that big rousing thing. And they'd held off on a lot of the music intentionally. And a lot of the music cues they used throughout the film were from the other movies, but they were the tension themes.
Mm.
And that, so it just wove through that it wasn't until someone was holding that hammer high that sort of the pressure was released and you felt like, oh, there's a chance they could win.
The music was Alan Silvestri, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was more, it was very understated. And so you notice when those themes came back in, there was a lot of silence. Mm-hmm. In fact, in our cinema, I'm not sure whether it was the movie or the air conditioner. Did you hear it?
Just when it turned on.
Blowing that kind of soft current. Yes. But it was haunting. It was almost haunting. I was unsure whether it was part of the audio or not, but it fit perfectly with the film in some of those moments.
They didn't turn the air conditioning on until they ended up on Vormir.
The air conditioning start.
As soon as the Red Skull ghost thing and appeared.
It was like, is this intentional?
Yeah. Are we in 4D? Are the seats going to vibrate? Whatever. I was very, I won't say surprised, but I was very impressed with how much Nebula had to play. I thought that she'd get a good run after Gamora being offed in Infinity War, but I was surprised at kind of how central to the plot she ended up being.
Mm.
And I just find it interesting that a character who is Cyborg manages to convey without really moving her face emotions, and not just emotions, but... why she's driven behind, from emotions. Yeah.
I think that's the win of these movies, particularly these last two, is that you can show a character that's completely 100% CGI and you can follow and fall in love with or despise or like or love. They've done that like no one has ever done before and set a standard now for that, which I think is fantastic. You can actually have those feelings for those sorts of characters. Mm. But yeah, that was an interesting... I went in a little bit of sort of expecting there would be something around her, knowing a little bit about comic book storylines. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, I don't want to give away spoilers for those.
No, we can. Look, in the comics, Nebula gets the gauntlet. She's the one that puts it on and try. You think she's going to... She makes it much worse. So I was glad they didn't go that direction. Yeah. It didn't need to be that. She was atoning. She didn't need to have that sort of...
And I think that for me that was the relief as well, because this could have gone... They could have tried to solve this or fix this in a lot of different ways from a storyline and character perspective, and they kept it simple.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was good because if you tried to do something complicated, potentially more towards the comic book store arc, they seemed to just shed a lot of that. It would have been overwhelming, and they kept it simple, and it was beautiful.
Well, I can't think of a comic book arc that directly references anything in the film.
Mm.
So much of this was as if they... So for years we've watched comic book movies where they've pulled stories from the comics and made them work.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a story pulled from the other films. And that was what I felt was such a satisfying conclusion of it. It wasn't clearly referencing famous comic book stories. There were so many swerves, so many different directions that I couldn't see coming. We got Valkyrie, we got Korg. They, you know, so many characters that you wanted to see again, and there was just a moment. And that's all they needed. Korg is the best.
Yeah.
Just, of course, he's hanging out in New Asgard wearing Hawaiian shirt.
I feel like they're holding him. They're holding him back.
Yeah.
They're going to bring him
in the
next phase. Oh, yeah.
Can we also, seeing we're going to talk about that, can we talk about the fact that Thor is a fat, lazy guy who just drinks beer all the time now?
So it's one.
No wonder we never saw him in anything.
It's one more step towards him becoming Odin, because that's the whole idea of Ragnarok and the cycle of repetition within Asgard, is that he has to become his father. So he has to become more Anthony Hopkins. But just that first reveal of, hey, Thor's a fat drunk now, was great.
It was so good. In fact, that may have been one of the first times that the audience got a proper laugh instead of a little, lighthearted chuckle to get out of that sort of deep feeling.
There's a reference in there which I think will date the film in maybe 10 years' time, which of course is Fortnite being played.
Yeah.
With 100%. Korg playing Fortnite and Thor jumping on.
Threatening. Screaming abuse.
Threatening a shit talker. Agreed. That will date it, but who cares?
Yeah, it was
worth
amazing.
It for that joke.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot that will date it simply because they keep referring to years.
Yeah.
And I know that the years are helping us remember when in the world and timeline things happen. But, it's very much of its time, this movie, very much.
I love that. I actually love, for the first time, when you have these movies where it's actually dated to the movie. And so the movie happened at that present time. That was refreshing for me to see the jumping to 2014, the jumping to 2015, or the jumping to these years.
Well, I'm interested to see, because a lot of the events in the film are set in 2018, but then also in 2023. That final battle, was that during 2018 or 2023? I think that was 23.
23, yeah.
So are the next few Marvel movies filling in the gaps until that event?
Yeah, potentially. Look, who knows? I mean, it can be anything, right?
Interesting.
They know
you
it's coming.
You may have just planned out phase four.
Yeah, if they know it's coming, they can do all sorts of setup for what will be.
Now, we were talking about how it was quite, not simplistic, but they could have gone crazy. They could have gone super convoluted. And I don't know how they managed to make a time travel movie that goes back and forth in different times with different characters going and doing different things, and it still not be too convoluted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we learn anything from time travel TV shows and movies, is that you've really got to super concentrate.
But
sometimes
I think they made a point in the film of what
we know reference
from,
like hell.
What you know from fiction's probably bullshit. Just go back and have a turn, see what happens. That was their take. For most of them, it seemed to work out.
Now, super spoily, you say go back and have a go. Someone shot themselves dead and managed to survive in their future form. To me, that was like, oh, that's against everything that I've ever seen on, Back to the Future, Quantum Leap, all that sort of stuff.
Which is what the Hulk, Professor Hulk explains, right? I think he says to him, he says, no, that's not how it works.
Yep.
That's your past, which was that future. This sounds confusing, me just saying that. But he says all of them, he actually references and says all of those movies that did that are all rubbish. And I think is it Ant-Man who turns and looks at him and says, so does that mean Back to the Future was rubbish?
And we're all like, no.
So I hope this tangled knot may be untangled in the future. But so we've got Captain America, who got frozen in the 40s, wasn't there for 70 years, then popped out. Then you've got Captain America, who went back to 2014. Mm-hmm. I think it was 14, might have been 15, but tells himself there that Bucky's still alive before Cap finds out Bucky is alive. And then we have a third iteration of Cap, who never left the 50s or the 40s. And stayed on.
Oh, so you've also got the Captain America who went into the 1970s.
Sure.
And saw his flame.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
That was an emotional moment.
Ah, just how many of them getting great emotional payoffs. So you had Tony meeting his father.
Mm.
You had Cap seeing his former flame.
Thor.
Meeting and talking with his mum. Nebula talking with Gamora And then Hulk didn't really need that. He was in a better place. Mm. You know, a few of them were moved forward. So Clint obviously didn't get to talk to anyone back there. Like Hawkeye, he didn't. And neither did Natasha.
Hmm.
But I feel like her moment of that was finding out that her father's name. Mm. You know, there was that tiny little moment. And that's going to be obviously followed up because there's a Black Widow movie coming. I don't know how. But well, that's got to be a kernel that's followed up there, that name. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like they've dropped a hint there.
But there are a few years, like you said, between when things happen and things happen.
So we've got plenty of storyline to fill in. So, yes, that could take place in the next 5 years, the Black Widow.
Yeah, potentially. Apart from that tear-jerking moment, there was another tear-jerking moment that wasn't a sad moment, and it was the Spidey and Mr. Iron Man himself.
Reuniting.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
Crowd was like...
That was beautiful, the reuniting and the hug and the
happiness.
That's
all it needed to be. It only needed to be that short, didn't it? It didn't need to be any longer.
It punched me twice as hard when they were in the opposite roles.
Hmm.
And then Pepper shoved him out of the way.
Yeah. I'm married to him, you know.
They never got married.
Yeah, she did shove him out of the way, didn't she?
Well, they did.
Oh,
yeah.
Wait, no, they did, didn't they? Because that's 2023.
Yeah. It's so confusing.
Oh, take a notepad next time, maybe.
I did see some reaction overnight from people at the premiere, but I guess this was media saying they felt it was confusing. I didn't think anything in that movie was confusing at all.
Neither.
I thought it was really simple.
Everything
I thought they did a fantastic job of making it simple with time travel, which always gets convoluted, but I thought it was really simple.
But also there were bits where, for example, when they're all at the memorial at the very end and they're going through all the different groups who are there, and I was like, where's Gamora? I mean, surely I couldn't have missed a green person. And I thought, maybe I missed it, but how could I have missed it? But then straight after that, you get shown nobody knows where she is.
Mm.
Yep. Gamora's off. Yeah, they've left story threads open for future. You saw the shot of Ant-Man and Wasp sitting together with the daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's very clear storylines forward for a bunch of them.
Mm.
And then there's some of them I'm not sure. Now, I am looking forward to the Asgardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yes.
You don't need to call it Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Just call it Asgardians of the Galaxy.
Do you think they'll actually do that? Because that would be amazing if they did that.
As long as they put Korg on that fucking ship. If they add him to the Guardians.
Yes.
Molto bene.
He's 100% got the right, what would you call it, the vibe. Like he would fit in perfectly.
What do you mean you're Groot? What's that? You're a tree, bro. You're a tree, I'm a rock.
I like those things growing out of your forehead, eh?
Yeah, it was wonderfully set up for this next phase. I mean, we've talked about it, where the characters will go from here. There's still plenty of room for growth in those characters, which I think is interesting as well. I'm going to this knowing what it was and knowing that it was end of this sort of 10-year cycle, and we can get to what the directors were doing 10 years ago, which is another interesting story. But I expected a lot of – I thought that maybe they might end a lot more or end a lot more of these characters. I went in expecting almost like a as close to a clean slate as possible.
Yeah, me too. To be honest with you, I thought that most of the people that were there at the beginning of the movie were not going to be there at the end.
Hmm.
And I thought it was going to be the other way. I thought it was going to be a reboot. And I thought it was going to be Back to the Future rules of if you do time travel, it changes the present. So I thought that's what was going to happen. And then that would explain away why a lot of actors don't return and things like that.
Look, if there's one thing I can say about their new rules of time travel is I still don't quite understand it, but it happened.
Yeah, it happened, and things worked out well for most.
For most people.
Yeah, they kept the arrow of time without going into physics, which is also discussed. Arrow of time going forward, so you can't change your past. Your past is your past. Is your past.
Which is why you can kill yourself.
But
shoot yourself.
That's completely disproven by what Steve Rogers chooses to do.
Should we talk about our three?
Yep. We should talk. Well, wait, is there anyone further down the list that you want to give a shout to? I thought I have to give a shout to Paul Rudd.
Oh,
yes. He was amazing.
He was excellent.
He delivered. I thought him being paired up with both Hulk and Rocket at various times was such a good dynamic.
Agreed.
Scott works best when he's used to deflate a situation, and he was just so good at saying what the audience needed to hear and sort of bring an emotional moment back down to a little more, okay.
Look, even just the quick Back to the Future reference, that's what we were all thinking.
Well, he's the audience surrogate, you know what I mean? He's meant to be the everyman on that team of a team of heroic ideals, and he's the guy that got given a suit because he was good at nicking shit. I was disappointed that Lewis didn't show up, his mate. I wanted the film to start with Ant-Man coming out and being like, what the hell is happening? Buddy, I got to tell you, and do a quick thing there. But
who else do we have? Tilda Swinton, I should say.
She did great.
Yeah.
A few people that I wasn't expecting. I didn't think we would see Crossbones from Civil War and Agent Sitwell as well, who was one of the
Hydra
guys.
You were like, what?
I was so amped for that. And it was great because he was the first person to ever mention Doctor Strange in one of the other movies. And, you know, things like that. Then you had
Natalie Portman. She didn't say anything.
I don't think so. No. Very, very unexpected because that was not a warm exit from what we've heard. Robert Redford.
Yes.
Rene Russo.
That was amazing.
So they've de-aged these people, have they? They've done a wonderful job of doing some of those.
They did some great de-aging on Michael Douglas.
Oh, my God, Michael Douglas. I was going to tap you and say, that was Michael Douglas.
Yeah, right? That was phenomenal.
I was very impressed with the de-aging they did on Stan Lee.
Yes.
That was a tiny cameo. And I feel that's appropriate because Captain Marvel had such a beautiful send-off to him and it was much closer. And I have a feeling that Spider-Man Far From Home will have something there
as well.
I agree.
I think
that will be a little more emotional. I think in a film packed with that much emotion, we didn't need an emotional send-off to Stan to break it because that would be too real.
Yeah, I agree.
But he had that was how Stan looked in the 70s.
Yeah.
That porn moustache.
The Hugh Hefner kind of look.
So good.
Look, just really quickly, I want to say that I enjoyed the fact that they said, well, Captain Marvel said, sorry, I can't help you with saving half the universe because I'm busy over at this other planet doing something else. And they were like, oh, yeah, that's fair enough. Bye. Who's going to buy that?
Yeah.
Who believed that? She took off.
Loki.
Yes.
Loki back in there for a moment.
That was nice. Not long, but long enough.
So before we get to those three, I will say that there was a few surprises that I didn't like. I was very surprised that Loki didn't come back in some way, especially surprised about Vision.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
He's gone.
Yeah. But that was such a big emotional thing in Infinity War.
Well.
And it happened before the dusting.
I say he's definitely gone. But in Infinity War, right before he went outside to fight and got the gem picked out, Shuri was working at mapping his mind. So I figure there's going to be a backup drive.
Version 2.0.
See how it tests with audiences, bring him back.
Yeah, Vision. There's a Scarlet Witch and Vision TV show happening for Disney Plus.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is either going to be, it'll either be set before the events of Infinity War or about finding his soul again.
Nice. They didn't. There was expectation for me that they may bring in new characters. They didn't need to do that, which I think was good. I was worried they might go, oh, we need to bring in the new villain, or we need to bring in this, or it's now about finding this person or trying to set something up. They didn't bring in any X-Men either, which I think is good. They didn't do any of that, which so for me it felt like such a wonderful wrap-up of this 10-year. Even though I thought they might clean the slate, it still felt like a fantastic end to this epoch of movies, which is quite incredible to go back and think about what we've been through over the last 10 years.
A lot's happened.
Yeah.
So do we talk the big three now?
Let's do it.
All right. I think we start with Thor because his was the most fun of them.
His was so much fun.
He grew up a bit again, which was good. Yeah. He got that emotional closure with his mother and was fat. Very puffy.
Through all the way through.
And
yeah,
how did they do that to Hemsworth? Because that's not what Hemsworth looks like. And there's no way he suddenly put on all that weight we didn't notice. It was a fat suit.
Yeah.
It was the best fat suit I've ever seen. And I've watched Nutty Professor a lot.
Yeah, I was looking at it closely, saying there's no way he can put on that, and he wouldn't allow himself to put on that much weight. But yeah, it was probably a fat suit combined with some CGI. I'm not really sure, but it was magnificent.
The beard was helping as well.
Yeah,
because if he didn't have the beard, his chiseled looks would have shone through.
So he got a mighty moment of holding both hammers. I think that was very cool of being back in time and deciding, you know what? Fuck that old Thor. I'm going to take his hammer. Because that's what he chose to do. Back then, Thor now has no hammer.
That's very true.
Oh, yeah.
He's plucked the hammer out of the time stone. And when they went back at the end to take all the stones back, you know, when Steve took all the stones, he did take the hammer back.
They thought of everything.
All right.
They did. Wow.
All right.
Jeez, they're clever.
I saw him with that hammer. He's taking the hammer.
Well, because he didn't have the shield. I thought, oh, okay, the shield's broken now. He must be using the hammer.
Yeah, this is his new weapon.
Use that one. It's smaller.
Well done. These guys pay attention.
Mm. They really do. And yes, clearly they've set him up to possibly be involved with the Guardians moving forward.
I'm so happy with that.
Great. Yeah. There's a wonderful dynamic.
Yeah.
There's a wonderful breaker scene at the end, which brings some comedy back after everyone's bawling their eyes out. which is, it does set up. And I do hope that they run with it and call that movie As Guardians of the Galaxy. It would be a fantastic homage to this. But I don't know when that movie's planned. Next year.
Guardians of the Galaxy, with everything that happened with old mate, mm-hmm. James Gunn,
yep.
mm.
getting pulled off and everything, back on stuff.
So it's finally back on board.
Yeah.
He's been given permission to go and make Suicide Squad 2 first and then return.
Right. Okay.
So it was going to be used to kick off Phase 4 or like a big part of Phase 4, but clearly now that they've put the pin in that, and I'd say part of that as well is so they can work out a new contract with Chris Hemsworth if they don't already. I could see him going for like a Ruffalo-style contract where they're not going to make another Thor movie, but they can use Thor and have him part of the team. And I think that changes the dynamics of the Guardians in a really interesting way because they did have a strong, powerful female. They now still have that in Nebula, but now they've got someone who is basically Drax and Star-Lord combined and a better friend for Rocket.
I think... His arc is there, and so now he can play that role. So he's gone through that final completion. He went back and spoke to his mother. His character grew, I think. I was always fascinated by the Thor arc because I think as I went through the movies, I followed the Thor. I actually watched a few out of order, and I think I watched the Thor movies earlier than I probably should have in the sequence. But I was always fascinated by his character and arc and them trying to tell the story of this guy, particularly because that second film probably wasn't the height of the series. But I feel like they've left this in a wonderful place where he can play that and negotiate the contract and just come in as that special character at different points. So
the fact that he gave his crown.
He can have fun with it now.
Well, Thor's journey was always about bucking destiny. He didn't want to fulfill the expectations put upon him. And that final decision at the very end of like, I'm not a good king.
I don't want to do it.
That's not. This, that's
I
too
can't
much
play
pressure.
Fortnite anymore.
Yeah,
you know that it does. He's always been about avoiding power, and it really completed that nicely. He accepted that and isn't making himself be the leader of the Guardians. And this, you know, he's a team player now. So I found that huge. I we'll move on to Cap. I think my favorite moment of the film. We can. You know what it is.
Go for it. Tell us again, Tom.
Picking up that damn hammer.
Oh, yeah.
Holding that hammer, and then it's zooming in, and he's got the shield in one hand, the hammer behind him, and the lightning start courses in his eyes.
Yeah.
And the crowd loved that.
That was the first yell from me. And, you know, I like my things with a slice of jade. But that even got a yell out of me at that point. I think because last night I went back and watched that scene because I had a feeling it was coming, that scene from Age of Ultron and that little movement in Thor's face when he smiles and then he all of a sudden stops smiling when Cap just nudges it a little. I had a feeling that was coming. And there was one of those payoffs which I've been waiting for since that exact moment in that film because I didn't like Ultron that much, but I was waiting for that to come to fruition.
They set that up so long ago. Man. And then to have him not only had that heroic shot, but then for it to cut to Thor and Thor be like, yes, I knew it.
Yeah, yeah.
It shows how much he has evolved as a character as well, because he's supportive of his friend.
Yeah.
Know? Whereas before he'd be pissed off if someone picked up his hammer. Now he's like, hammer bros.
Do it, you can do it.
Yep. Look, we talked before about skipping through time. Cap had some beautiful moments in the 70s observing his long-lost love. Mm.
That was a very interesting moment for me. I got all the feels in there because I almost felt like he was glimpsing. And if he had, it was like this one moment. I was unsure what they were going to do with that, because I watched it. I felt this amazing, overwhelming sort of feeling going, that is his one chance. He won't get to speak to her. He'll just look. She doesn't know he's there.
You're right. It couldn't
and I
have
thought,
been
oh,
anything.
Oh, man, what a...
It
what
couldn't have been. Well, his whole story arc has been he's the man that waited too long. It's yeah. all, everything that's happened to him negatively is because of his own inaction. And so him making that decision to go back at the end and choose that and then to stay, that's such a nice tip on his character arc.
Yeah.
We can just pick up on more amazing CGI.
Oh,
that was, so that was him?
That was him.
Oh, man.
Aged up to like 80s, 90s.
Chris Evans now knows exactly what he's going to look like at that age.
And I almost feel like they've been doing the road testing of de-aging people just to show how good they could age someone up. Because that was like...
It was... if you didn't know who he was, if you just wandered in at the end of that movie and watched that, you just think that was an older gentleman having a chat.
Yeah.
You really would.
Yeah, they did. I looked at that and I've gone, is that an actor?
And they've mapped his
face.
And
they've mapped his face and his movement. And I was going to ask you, but I knew what state you were in at that point, so I didn't want to tap you. Yeah, mm-hmm. There was a fair few sniffles coming in.
I'd say the hands were an older bloke's hands, though.
I think it's there's a lot of composition going on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, oh, man. Seamless.
But
from
we'll find out more about that for sure.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's something they're going to talk about.
Way more of that will happen.
So the Cap served his arc, which I thought, like looking at his story, I obviously that piece was still missing. About going back or potentially going back, and that's now resolved as well. So I felt like his arc through all of his movies, because he was always my favorite. I remember when I first started this journey with you, Tom, and I started late, remember, and I talked to you. And the first one I watched was...
Civil War?
No.
Winter Soldier?
No, it was the original Captain America.
Oh, First Avenger.
First Great. Avenger, which I loved. Yeah. I loved it as a period piece. And I remember you describing it to me over a hamburger or something, going, this is what it's like, and it's like this. And I got all excited and I went home and watched it, and that sort of started my journey. So for me, he's always been my favorite. And to see him have that fulfillment in the end was a really wonderful moment, rather than have a sacrifice, which I was expecting there
me
for
too.
A bit with that final scene with Thanos. And I want to come to Thanos as well. But I was expecting the three of them to somehow sacrifice. That's Thor, one we haven't spoken about yet, and Cap all together in a singular sacrifice between the three of them, which didn't happen. And I love the way that they resolved this in different ways.
So, I like that he got it all.
Yeah.
He got to be the superhero for years. He got to save many, many days. He got to save the main, well, be part of saving the main day. And then he got to live a life of what he's always been wanting to live.
My two
the guy
moments.
Won.
He did.
Yeah,
he did. He's the biggest winner of all of them.
Yeah.
My two moments that I was waiting for Cap, and they both happened, but not like I was. He had to pick up Mjolnir. He had to pick up the hammer, and he had to hand over that shield.
Mm.
But when that shield got smashed up, I was sure that was Cap dead.
Same.
And they were not going to pass
what
on.
They
and
wanted
that was
us gonna, to
think. Yeah, that was going
to
be the end of the shield. Was yeah, but instead. That's a bold move.
Very bold.
They had two candidates. It was either going to be Bucky or Falcon.
Yeah.
Those two have both carried the shield and been Captain America in the comics. And I feel we're the right one.
Yeah.
If we can just take what our cinema audience thought, their reaction was like, yes! Like, yep. People were on board with that. They made the right choice.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, Bucky's, if you give it to Bucky, it's just another white guy with the shield. But you give it to Falcon.
He's got so much edge. He's got too much edge for the shield.
Well, that's the point.
You can't have a long
No, no, no.
Person.
See, that's the point, because Cap started as a patriot and ended as an insurgent.
Mm.
And so by having someone who's got that edge to begin with and comes from a rougher background and isn't idealized in the same way, he's not just going to follow orders.
Mm.
He's going to be a Captain America for the people.
I'm excited.
Yes.
You've got me excited now.
Yes, yeah. I'm very excited about the potential. So Falcon and Winter Soldier is going to be another TV show on Disney+.
Awesome.
Oh, man.
So while they've been very coy about announcing further films, they have shared plenty of stuff for Disney Plus, and there is more than enough content to be coming up that will fill in gaps and continue stories that, you know, Scarlet Witch and Vision are not big enough characters to warrant their own film.
Agreed.
So give them a 6-hour, you know, Netflix style drop all at once
TV show.
People
can sit down and watch and enjoy, and they don't have to try and win the box office.
Can you imagine if they make a romantic comedy?
I can't be bothered with it already, like just the thought of it.
Here I was thinking they'd clean the slate. They've scrubbed it a little bit, polished it, and then what's emerged is just Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Coming up.
Well, they've largely had to remove the main six characters.
It's like Disney Plus is holding the gauntlet.
Yeah. Well, dude, drop in Pixar, Star Wars, all these different universes, and Disney is Thanos. Do you want to talk about Thanos before we get to the final big one?
Sure.
Yeah, thoughts?
He was a sad farmer at the beginning.
He was so vulnerable. He was so vulnerable. I still love him as a character, yeah. And I missed him in this film, admittedly, and the film wasn't necessarily about him. I think we got the contrast of the last film, which was definitely his film and his story. And that was so unexpected for me, that last film, particularly a film of this scale and size and audiences to do that, to have a villain and to develop a villain and have you almost like the villain.
Yeah, the antagonist was the hero of that story.
And then I almost missed him in this film, but I understood why they needed to do it. But he turned up. He was angry. I liked his little farmer outfit at the start, picking his fruit. I think I got a chuckle out of you when...
You were very excited about the scarecrow.
Scarecrow was good.
Yes, he took his armor off and made the scarecrow. But no, he was...
Did it deflate you that the film started with, oh, we found Thanos, let's go get Thanos, and then they got Thanos, and you're like 25 minutes in the film and they've already killed Thanos? Did that throw you?
It threw me in the sense there where I went in expecting that they may introduce, I was of the theory that either your time theory, which we've spoken about, or alternatively, they were going to introduce another baddie, another super baddie that they're all going to have to go and face. And I thought that would be a very cheap way to go, and I'm glad they didn't go there.
I was expecting Kang the Conqueror to show up, who was their time-traveling Avengers big bad.
Yeah.
He's more than Thanos. Kang is probably number one in Avengers history.
Could be still coming.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is still coming. Now that they've got the Fox rights back, once they've got Fantastic Four in the mix, Kang will make a lot more sense.
And I think once they did that, I thought, okay, we're going, this is unexpected, but I felt time had to be the thing. Since there was no stones, it's gone.
Yep.
They're going back to get those stones, which it wasn't a bad thing. But when they killed him off, I was like, oh, when are we going to see him again? Because I love him so much.
It got very convoluted easy to follow. But yes, you've got Thanos from a different time interacting with Nebula from a different time. Ugh.
There are a lot of people from different times showing up left, right and center. Okay, so we may not need to go into great detail about all of the main deaths, but I just want to know which one got you the most. You can say Thanos.
Oh, no. By the end, it was over. He'd done his trip. For me, it's Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man, I think. His story, his arc, his character. I think even him as an actor, having gone through this and all the ups and downs he's gone through these 10 years as an actor through this and where he was before this. Think where Robert Downey Jr. was.
Nothing.
It was 15 years ago.
Mm. They had to insure against him to make Iron Man.
Yeah.
They had to ensure that, put up a ton of money that he wouldn't go rogue, and they had enough faith. Favreau fought for him. And then.
For me, I think that was the. Because me, I'm always look at the exterior for the movie and everything, blah, 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 blah. I get into the characters, but, you know, I'm thinking about the background and everything else. And knowing his journey as an actor, I think, was overwhelming for me, particularly in that credit scene. I love that credit scene with the main Avengers and their signature in the middle.
That for me
was very, very special. And finishing on Robert Downey, I think, was something very special. For me, that took the cake.
The second he said, "I am Iron Man," and clicked, I knew he was dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That bit, you were just like, oh, we've seen what clicking, or just what putting the what would you call it, the glove on. What's it called?
Infinity
Gauntlet. Gauntlet, thank you. Oh my gosh, I was like, there's a proper word for it.
So Disney Plus.
put the Disney Plus on. I knew that from seeing what effect it had on Thanos and the Hulk, I was like, this is just a human. Like, he is one of the superheroes who is just a human. And for him to put that on, I was like, okay.
Yeah, and the movie was about sacrifice, right?
Yeah.
And we knew it was coming, so the sacrifices would need to be made.
Even more than the snap, him saying those words, I am Iron Man, was really the only way his story could end, because it was those words that started the Marvel Universe. Like, Iron Man was a great movie. You think back, and everyone enjoyed it.
Mm.
But that last 4 seconds of the film where he just goes, fuck it, I am Iron Man, and then it smashes to black. That's the moment that began the Marvel Universe. Then 8 minutes later at the end of the credits, you get Samuel Jackson wander out and say, I'm thinking of starting the Avengers.
Mm.
But that one phrase, I am Iron Man, is what made Marvel stand out from any other superhero movie that had come before, because it had always been about the super, like, you've got to hide your identity. And this is and that was a declaration of intent.
Mm.
And him ending the universe by saying that was, oh.
It was a beautiful ending.
It was
it
a
really
coda.
Was. It,
like,
yeah.
Like, that was a full stop on all the films.
Mm.
Did that bring the biggest tears to your face?
100%.
Yeah.
Mm.
Because the second that happened, I said, oh, he's all right. The rest of the film is emotional fallout. Here
yeah,
we go.
Yeah, yeah. And what a nice send-off we got of him at the end with everybody in Hollywood. Every single actor.
They had the
felt like, didn't it?
The
like
little boy that helped him in Iron Man 3 in a garage in Nebraska or something.
He was just in front of Colby.
Yeah.
Who wasn't even in focus. Like, that's how many people there were. There were so many famous people there, they couldn't even have them all in focus.
Well, I can't remember exactly who it was, but someone let it slip that that scene had been filmed before, right, like before Infinity War came out. Might have been Michelle Pfeiffer, because someone mentioned Michelle Pfeiffer being there. And at that point, she hadn't even been in Ant-Man and the Wasp. So people joined the dots of, okay, there's got to be some sort of big gathering. And people assumed that we were going to get a recreation of the Battle of Wakanda with added characters. And instead, turns out it was a funeral.
Yeah. That was full on. But
he has a daughter.
He does have a daughter.
Oh, he does have a daughter. He's already started playing with Iron Man helmets.
And I believe her and the fact that we saw Hawkeye's daughter being trained up means that we're in safe hands for a young Avengers team.
Ant-Man and the Wasps.
Yep.
Wow. You've just blown my mind.
Oh, 100% it's coming. Especially because
to Disney Plus.
Well, you've got Rescue, who is Pepper, her outfit. Her Iron Person outfit is called Rescue because she doesn't have offensive capabilities. Hers was all about search and rescue.
Mm-hmm.
It is incredible business strategy, isn't it? They know that we spoke about it after the film. How do you top that? Because that is probably the biggest film of our generation. I think the world will be different in 10 years if they go back and start again and do another 10-year cycle building up to something like that over a 6-month period. But the world will change. We are in a different business world of streaming. You now have unlimited content, unlimited stories. They've done well with that world, unlike Star Wars, which is obviously a little boring in my opinion now, but they've done so well with that world to now build a platform for the next period where they still can have those signature movies, which we think will probably be a little bit more subtle potentially as they slowly build up, introduce the new villainry and grow over the next half a decade to 10 years.
It's ridiculous talking like this, isn't it? But that's
crazy.
What they do. That's what they talk about.
Yeah.
And we've just watched Avengers Endgame. We are several weeks away from end of Game of Thrones. What the hell are we going to do?
Spider-Man Far From Home. Spider-Man's still coming. It's still Spidey.
They're still Spidey.
So far away.
We'll always have Spidey.
Yes, we are in the end of an epoch of these huge, huge
event
things.
Viewing.
Yeah.
Is kind of winding down a little bit.
Yeah, so we'll say that in 10 years' time when the three of us come back and sit here.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be like, it wasn't funny when we said that event viewing had finished and then it just got a resurgence.
Then by that time we'll probably be on Young Avengers Disassembled.
Featuring like Peter Dinklage or something.
Dinklage was in the last one.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, I was surprised he didn't come back in some point.
Well, I'm wondering because you know how if you know... to watch the if you watch a Marvel movie, you know to watch the end till the end of the credits. Like, that's what you do.
Great way to finish.
Oh, yeah.
Good
bring
segue.
It in. Bring it in.
Well done. Bring it
so
in.
Thanks so much.
You're it's a like pro. You're a pro.
Jinx. We didn't get to see anything. We got trolled. The only thing we got to do was hear something.
Now, what was that we were hearing?
We heard clinking.
But what sort? Was that someone hammering?
It sounded like someone was hammering. It sounded like, I feel, a Peter Dinklage was hanging out.
Forging something?
Could have been making a weapon for... I thought Better Ray Bill might show up, who's this horse-headed Asgardian. Well, he's not Asgardian, but he hangs out with the Asgardians all the time. He looks like Thor, but if Thor had a skeletal horse head... And he's the guy that normally carries Stormbreaker, which is the axe hammer that Thor now has.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe we'd get some involvement with him. That could be an entry. Maybe that hammering, maybe that's like a subconscious echo from Tony Stark's dying mind of his hammering out a new suit. Like as he passes. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Maybe he got to go to Valhalla, you know. Valkyrie is there. The women that help you cross over to the afterlife and reach Valhalla were there. So maybe he was taken and, you know, he's drinking mead with all the Asgardians that are dead.
Getting fat.
Getting fat. Who knows?
I am, spoiler alert to comic books, trying to understand what that could be in future storylines from comic book stories where they could take this next phase or the next three phases. And I'm struggling to know what that is. So it's even got me curious. And it'll be have me racing to Reddit to look at the fan yeah, forums right. after this.
See what everybody else thinks.
Mm.
Look, let us know what you think if you've got any theories or ideas as to what it could be. Because like we said, we've literally just driven straight to the studio from the movie theatre. So we're still
I'm exhausted because I stayed up to like 3:30 binging more of the films to remember as much as possible.
You did. Let us know. thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com. Tom, thank you very much.
Cheers.
And Raina, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was
Thanks
great.
For coming in.
I'm glad to share that with you guys.
We are going to drag you in again.
Awesome.
Whether
I look forward to
like
it.
Like it or not.
I look forward to it.